I was one Sunday morning loitering at the precinct station when the door opened and a respectable-looking middle-aged woman came in, whose agitated air at once attracted my attention. Going up to her, I asked her what she wanted. "A detective," she replied, glancing cautiously about on the faces of the various men scattered through the room. "I don't wish anything said about it, but a girl disappeared from our house last night and..." She stopped here, her emotion seeming to choke her. "And I want someone to look her up," she went on at last with the most intense emphasis.
"A girl? What kind of a girl? And what house do you mean when you say our house?"
She looked at me keenly before replying. "You are a young man," said she. "Isn't there someone here more responsible than yourself that I can talk to?" I shrugged my shoulders and beckoned to Mr. Grice, who was just then passing. She at once seemed to put confidence in him. Drawing him aside, she whispered a few low, eager words, which I could not hear. He listened nonchalantly for a moment, but suddenly made a move which I knew indicated strong and surprised interest, though from his face. But you know what Grice's face is. I was about to walk off, convinced he had got hold of something he would prefer to manage himself, when the superintendent came in.
"Where is Grice?" asked he. "Tell him I want him."
Mr. Grice heard him and hastened forward. As he passed me, he whispered, "Take a man and go with this woman. Look into matters and send me word if you want me. I will be here for 2 hours." I did not need a second permission. Beckoning to Harris, I reapproached the woman.
"Where do you come from?"
said I.
"I am to go back with you and investigate the affair, it seems."
"Did he say so?" she asked, pointing to Mr. Grice, who now stood with his back to us, busily talking with the superintendent. I nodded, and she at once moved towards the door.
"I come from North 2nd Avenue, Mr. Blake's house," she whispered, uttering a name so well known. I at once understood Mr. Grice's movement of sudden interest. "A girl, one who sewed for us, disappeared last night in a way to alarm us very much. She was taken from her room."
"Yes," she cried vehemently, seeing my look of sarcastic incredulity. "Taken from her room. She never went of her own accord, and she must be found if I spend every dollar of the pittance I have laid up in the bank against my old age." Her manner was so intense, her tone so marked, and her words so vehement, I at once and naturally asked if the girl was a relative of hers, that she felt her abduction so keenly.
"No," she replied, "not a relative, but," she went on, looking every way but in my face, "a very dear friend, a protege, I think they call it, of mine. She must be found," she again reiterated. We were by this time in the street.
"Nothing must be said about it," she now whispered, catching me by the arm. "I told him so," nodding back to the building from which we had just issued, "and he promised secrecy. It can't be done without folks knowing anything about it, can't it?"
"What?"
I asked. "Finding the girl."
"Well," said I, "we can tell you better about that when we know a few more of the facts. What is the girl's name? And what makes you think she didn't go out of the house door of her own accord?"
Why, everything. She wasn't the person to do it. Then the looks of her room, and they all got out of the window," she cried suddenly, "and went away by the side gate into the street."
"They? Who do you mean by they?"